thank you for sharing with me the Lord's Supper. Because that is the instruction the Lord Jesus gave to us. Having received the bread and wine, a new page has been written because we have observed that instruction that the Lord gave to us. Let's hear our Bible reading today from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Father, you are our rock. You are our shelter. You are our everything. But Father, we pray for that knowledge to know who you are. The way you revealed yourself to Moses, Father, we pray too this morning that that revelation will come to us. Above all, Father, I want to thank you for your word that always speaks the truth. And thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. Father, open our inner hearts so that we hear what the Holy Spirit is going to say to us through your servant. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Wow, that's a very common story. Most of us, we've gone to Sunday school And there were Sunday school teachers, they've told us that story. Some of us know it like the back of our hands. But did you notice something very important in that text? It's also talking about politicians today in our lives. Recently, we had elections in our country. But before the voting day arrived, there was a lot of scenarios that we saw of different political parties. Some of them were coming door to door, campaigning. When they were coming and knocked at your door, they identified themselves, who they are, what they want to do if you vote them in. In our daily politics in this country, I can only mention a few popular parties. Conservative Party, which is the ruling party now. Labour, UKIP, Lib Dem, and the Green Party. I think we all saw their manifestos and what they were going to do if we vote them in. In the book of Exodus this morning, we come to a story similar to our daily politics, but slightly different in context. Moses, whom the majority of us, as I said, you remember, his mother dumped him in the River Nile. In today's language, Moses' mother could have been charged by neglect, child abuse. Not only that, she also gave a minor to be in charge of another child. But all these were God's plans. In human eyes, it was abuse, but not with God. The theme of my sermon this morning is God's name is revealed and his mission. Same as the politicians were coming to you, telling you who their political party leader is and what they are going to do when you vote them in. God reveals that to Moses through that burning bush. Isn't that a great story? The story of Moses, as I remember, he grew up in Pharaoh's palace. A Hebrew growing up in an Egyptian palace. Do you see God's plans? He was planning for what was coming ahead because he would need to learn to communicate. I was saying to Mary earlier on, because Mary's mother cannot speak English, I said to Mary, your mom is not going back to India until she learns how to speak English. So I said to Mary, when she's back in India, I don't need you to be interpreting when I speak to you on the phone, because we can communicate easily. This is exactly what Moses was what was happening to Moses here. He went into Pharaoh's palace to learn the language and to know how this Pharaoh was ruling the people of Israel. So that tomorrow when he comes back, he's got no problem. You see how God plans these things. Jeremiah says also, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. There. This is where it comes from. Look what's happened to Moses. But to him, I think he might have done like what most of us do when things are not working our way. We always blame God. I've done so. There's no way I can say an excuse. When I lost my job back in Zimbabwe, I've told you this story so many times that I used to be a train driver. But somehow, I was sacked and I was not happy. And I said, God, why me? I tithe in your church. I go to church every Sunday. Why me? We all go through that way. But God has got plans for us. So Moses, he was now 8 years, 40 years as a shepherd, looking after his father-in-law's sheep. I don't know about your culture, but in my culture, to live under the roof of a mother and father-in-law, visiting, yes, but not to live under them. No. My culture, you will be the talk of the village. So it's something that you don't do. You can visit them, but not to live under them for 40 years. And on this day, maybe Moses was saying, oh, Jethro, give me my freedom. I want to go. I'm only saying so. And when he saw this burning bush, he said, let me get close. Maybe he had suffering from stress of living under the father-in-law and mother-in-law. He's walking to this bush, which is burning in front of him. He wants to find out a solution. Maybe. And then when he gets closer, a voice comes out of that burning bush. Don't get closer. Take off your sandals because you are standing on holy ground. That's very important. In the Old Testament, when we hear of fire, we think of the holiness of God, because the Israelites were always led with fire, but it was not consuming fire. Maybe this is the curiosity Moses had on that day to try and find out, is it the same fire my forefathers used to tell me? Let me go closer. This morning, God has got a burning bush in your heart that you haven't found the solutions to. Walk closer to it. Find out what that thought which is coming in you. What are you supposed to do? God is speaking to you for you to do something for his kingdom. I believe there's some religions, when you go to their temple, they take off their shoes. There's a point I want to bring there. The point I want to bring is, where is God's holiness? Is it by the burning bush at one particular place? Or God's holiness is everywhere? What does it mean to say God is holy? Bruce Milne says this in his book. This God's holiness is that he is utterly pure, perfect, without any sin or evil. His very being is outshining and outpouring of purity, truth, righteousness, justice, godness, and very moral perfection. So God's holiness is not centered at one place. God's holiness is righteousness, justice, goodness, and very moral and purity. In other words, God's holiness is what Isaiah talks about. The seraphims were calling one another, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty," in Isaiah 6, verse 1 to 11. In Isaiah's words, holiness fills the whole earth, brothers and sisters. God's holiness is not at one place, it's everywhere. God's holiness is in this church right now. When we walk outside, God's holiness is there. And when even you pray in your house, God is there. Doesn't Matthew says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there. So God's holiness is everywhere. But here are some of the attributes for holiness. To be holy is to be distinct, separate, unique. To be holy is to be absolutely pure. Only holy people can see God. Isn't that beautiful? Surprise, surprise. Some of you have been to hospital before. Jenia can remember this. I once used it in New Haven, but I want to show you today as well. Have you seen this before? Wow. I'm not a medical person, but I thought today I need to bring this to you. On this holiness issue, if I put this into your DNA, how is your righteousness in your DNA? How is your justice within you? How is your moral perfection within you? I've said the attributes of holiness is to be distinct, separate, unique, absolutely pure. I think sometimes we need a thermostat, a thermometer, to test how these attributes of God are within us. Forget about the burning bush. The burning bush is in your heart. You are ignoring those measurements of God. We've heard them. How? What is to be holy? Through the story of Moses. The story we all know. But if it ever came to you that when he was asked or told about holiness, it was also a story that you and me, we will now understand what it means to be holy. Like that was not enough. God goes on to say to Moses, I have seen the suffering of my people. That's a covenant. God is building a covenant with his people. As we were sharing bread and wine here, we said, that is the new covenant in my blood. But in that particular incident, God himself was saying to Moses, I have seen from heaven and I have come down because of the suffering of my people. God has come down for us this morning because we are suffering. How many of you are stressed this morning? How many of you are struggling with a lot of things happening in their families? God is saying to you this morning, I have come down because of those problems. I've come down because of those illnesses in your family. I've come down because you don't see eye to eye with your sister. I've come down so that you can be reconciled to one another. God is a God of covenant. He wants to live amongst us, but only if we obey and inquire, why is that bush burning in my heart? So don't ignore this, brothers and sisters. God has seen the suffering in you. All those thoughts that are always abound in your mind. God is talking to you this morning. And partially, God reveals part of his mission to Moses. When he called Moses, he said, my people are suffering and I'm going to send you. Are you ready for the suffering of other people? God is saying, I'm going to send you. I've got an uncle who lives in Bournemouth. He has separated with his wife about 15 years ago. And the wife phoned me some other time and wanted me to be a peacemaker. And I agreed. But imagine people who have been separated for 15 years. It's a bit of a struggle. I've tried a bit that I could on my own, but I've surrendered on my own strength. I've now left it in God's hands. So I'm still praying for them. Maybe some of you might have heard last week when I was praying for broken marriages, I was including my uncle in that marriage because they've asked me to be a peacemaker. So same applies to Moses here. God is sending him for this mission. Blessed Moses, he was told he's going to do this. But I didn't know my uncle and his wife were going to ask me to be a mediator in their marriage. So that's why I'm asking God to see help in that. But God says, my people who are called by my name, if only they humble themselves, I will hear them from heaven and answer their prayers. The next thing that comes to Moses is God revealing his name. Do you know God's name? We always say Lord, God. But the Hebrews respected the name of God. They never wanted to call God's name. It was taboo. But here, God reveals his name. But I want you to be in Moses' shoes. This burning bush is saying, I am God, the God of your forefathers. Would you just take it face value? No. As Christians, we are urged to investigate any prophecy that we hear. So Moses maybe wanted to investigate. Little did he know in God's plans, in asking, you and me now know God's name. God reveals his name. If I'm not wrong, for the first time. He says, I am who I am. Yahweh. To make it simple, we sometimes call it Jehovah. And the Hebrew people didn't have vowels. They had consonants only, which you could not pronounce. So that word was difficult. So some scholars have put some vowels in between so that we can say Yahweh. That's God's name. You shall not call God's name unnecessarily. That's good if we say God, Lord, but God's name is not to be called unnecessarily. But we know his name now through Moses. God said, I am who I am. The verse that I read to you before I started the service, Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus is God. So he is the I am. God has revealed who he is this morning. We know now God is who he is. So go and tell the Israelites that Yahweh has sent me to you. He is the God of your forefathers. But he has said to me, I just say, I am has sent me to you. Finally, the piece of work that Moses is given by God. As I hinted earlier on, God wants the Israelites to be freed from slavery. Ladies and gentlemen, we are also in slavery in this world. This is why God sent Jesus to come and save us. There is suffering in this world. Recently in our Bible study, we were talking about the country called Greece. We were discussing the turmoils that are going in Greece. The banks are closed. They are likely to run out of money. They are in trouble. Not only Greece, we've read of other countries where starvation is looming. In other countries, there are no benefit system like we have here. That is the volume of suffering that I am talking about now. God has seen that suffering. So when we were discussing about Greece, we're discussing about how it can be helped. So God has seen all our sufferings. God has seen our sufferings. There are people who don't know about Jesus right now. They should be told about Jesus. The peace that he brings in your life, they need to know about it. But listen to Moses. He was saying, who am I that God you want to send me? There's an old English that anything that goes around comes around. You remember this fella, he killed someone, an Egyptian, when he was in Egypt. And he took off because Pharaoh wanted to kill him. Now maybe at the back of his mind, he said, me going back to Egypt, that Pharaoh, and God is saying, go and speak to Pharaoh. He's going to kill me. I'm going to be his supper because I ran away from him. But God is saying, go and be a peacemaker. God is sending you to be a reconciling person in that difficult situation that you are afraid of right now. God is saying, it's you. I want you to be the mission person. Go and be the reconciling person. Yes, it's difficult. You. Oh God, but I ran away after I killed. I want you to go to Pharaoh and go and get the Israelites. This morning, God is bringing the ministry of reconciliation in your life. That very difficult situation, whether it's at work, at home, wherever it is, it's you who is going to bring the reconciliation. As difficult as it is. Never mind. Moses said, no, God, I cannot. And God said, don't worry. I will be with you. Most of the time, we take the situations on our hands. We don't have the ability to do it. Only in God's power that we can do it. God says, the battle is not yours. It's mine. Yes. And also Matthew 28 verse 20, Jesus said, I will be with you until to the end of this journey. So commit it in his hands. We have been giving excuses to go on God's mission as did Moses. But as from today, no more excuses because God has told you he is with you. So what is your excuse? Let's go on God's mission. Moses was rejected by his fellow humans and found love in God. We have found love in God and Jesus Christ. When Moses realized that, he rescued thousands. And even the Egyptians could not hold the power that was in his hands. God is a powerful God. He can help you as well. In the same principle, Jesus has also given the same rescue plan for our fellow human beings. But only if we tell them about Jesus. God is saying, I'm holy. I don't want sin. Remove what is on you that prevents you to come closer to God for his mission. What is it on you that is preventing you to come closer to God? Take it off so that you can be closer to God. Is it a hobby? If it is a hobby, stop it. What about if it's my wife who is preventing me to come closer to God? What should I do? I'll pray for the power of God. Because I cannot drop my wife, not at this age of so many years of marriage. But I ask God to give me the power. I must be the reconciling tool between the relationship between me and my wife. God is saying, I am holy. I am holy. I am a God of justice. For I have revealed my name for the first time so that you know I am who I am. I am a God of rescue mission. Please don't fear. I will be with you to fight for you. My brothers and sisters, God is always with us and He is always fighting for us. Remember, God is holy. His name is Yahweh and He's a God of mission. That's why we will sing these 10,000 reasons because of God, what He is. Let's stand up together and sing our closing hymn.